All right. It is 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 9, 2021, and I call the regular assembly meeting to order. The Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Assemblymember Ann Morrison. Stand if you're able.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. There are no ceremonial matters other than to introduce our new interim borough manager, Jeffrey Good. We welcome you, and you hit the ground running last Monday, correct?
Correct.
And you've worked about a month so far in that time span. Would you just, for the listening public, just introduce yourself?
Sure. Jeff Good. Just really want to take the time, just a few minutes, just to thank everyone and thank the public as well. I just walking around town and meeting people and just the well wishes there. And then also for, we have some of the directors here as well. I just want to thank them for taking me around this week. Definitely a busy week, and thank you for showing me all the facilities and just going through all the issues. It took a lot of time, but definitely appreciate it, and it definitely helped a lot. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. And again, we welcome you. All right, roll call, please.
Assembly members, David Powell.
Here.
Morrison.
Here.
Ryan Howe.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
Here.
Mayor Grzynka. And Vice Mayor Gilbert.
Here. Okay, item three, persons to be heard.
Don't forget me,
don't we? I won't. You're the top on of my list, Mr. Murphy.
So, yes, we only have one person for the person to be heard, and that is Steve.
Okay, you've got a robust 3 minutes, Mr. Murphy.
Good deal. China Joe. China Joe is known for his bad decisions like the Afghan fiasco, foreign policy decisions, the border emergency, the economy, the election scandal, etc., and now the vaccine mandate. We are accepting medical advice for ourselves and families from people who are destroying our country. Anyone who cares about our country and our people would not make such stupid mistakes. No one is that dumb, so it has to be intentional. Why are we taking medical advice for ourselves and families from such an evil group of people? I do see that there are some standing up against this corruption and are standing for freedom and at a heavy cost. They're being fired. The administration now wants to vaccinate our children, of which this COVID has little effect. I am opposed to this. There are serious side effects that can ruin their lives. Heart problems, MS, death, infertility, being paralyzed are some of the side effects. Countless doctors and scientists have come forward speaking out against the jab. For example, Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor, Dr. Michael Yerden, former vice president and chief scientist for allergy and respiratory at Pfizer. He urges all women childbearing age to reject the jab. Kind of goes against mandate. My wish is to have you make a stand as our representatives of our people. To make a public announcement objecting to vaccine mandate.
Hi, this is Casey O'Dell.
Okay, thank you, Casey. We're in persons to be heard right now.
Understood. I'll be quiet. Thank you.
Thank you.
My wish is to have you make a stand as our representatives to make a public announcement objecting to the vaccine mandates, especially firing of our people, family, and friends, because they do not want to take the jab. I would also recommend you recommend children not to take the jab. The jab is not a vaccine anyway. Gene therapy. Vaccinated people can still get COVID and pass it on. What's the use? in India, for example, this spring, they had all kinds of COVID problems. 1 billion some people, crowded, poor people, good for disease. They didn't have a vaccine. You know how they fixed it? Almost gone now with ivermectin. Didn't need a vaccine. Britain, who's one of the most vaccinated countries we have, they have all kinds of COVID problems right now. So it looks to me like COVID vaccine is stimulating COVID.
Okay, and 30 seconds left, Mr. Murphy.
Good deal. I'll make it. Do your homework. The media, including our Sentinel, are giving us propaganda and lies, not allowing us to discuss things openly and intelligently about this vaccine. They use censorship and bad statistics. I even saw one tonight. It's pissing me off. That's why I don't watch the news much. The truth will set you free. Our children do not have free will, so we need to protect them from this evil. Protect us from things that are not law. You guys are our representatives. I want you guys to make the stand publicly. Let's go, Brandon.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Murphy.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Sydney. Assembly member have any amendments? Hearing none. Item 5, conflict of interest. Any assembly member have a conflict of interest on any agenda item? All right. Item 6, consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Morrison?
Yes.
David Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
And Vice Mayor Colbert?
Yes. The item 7, Borough Manager's Report.
Thank you, Assembly Member Gilbert. Just wanted to first go over, and I'm not sure if everybody's aware, that the unstructured bill has passed the Senate and the House. So from our standpoint, with the lobbyist from D.C. this morning, Seb, so kind of went over a lot of things there in the bill and then kind of things we should be looking out for. And what we're going to be doing probably over the next few weeks is kind of breaking that down in detail and just trying to figure out which ones will be best for us and some of the infrastructure that we have and the infrastructure needs, and then which ones we can apply for. So trying to get ahead of the game and be prepared for it. So that's our biggest thing. And then also with that is ensuring that the ones we do go after, you know, obviously have the least amount of financial burden for us as far as what our share of that is. So I think that's all I have at this point.
All right, and then there was the $50 million that the state got to disperse to municipalities. Were we going to have a special assembly meeting?
Yes. So
about that.
Yes, I did request a special assembly meeting as soon as we can. It's for the disproportionately affected communities, and right now we have the finance director who's worked up the numbers, so he should be ready as soon as you're available to kind of go through that. We would like to submit that and be first in the line for it. Because the money's going to eventually dry up, so we're going to be first to the draw.
Yeah, if you have any questions, I can answer. I've just freshly drafted that up, but happy to answer any questions with respect to that. It's a grant through the DCCED, Division of Community and Regional Affairs, so $50 million. We are claiming lost revenue of $1.815 million, and so hopefully we can submit that, get that out the door, and be first in line.
So the question before the assembly is, can we call a special meeting perhaps Friday at 5 or 5:30? It would be a one-item meeting, and you're prepared to come up with a resolution for us and a dollar figure?
Yep, the resolution's already drafted and the agenda statement as well, so I have all the...
And supporting materials are ready to go?
Yep.
Would the assembly members be available? All right, Assembly Member DeBoer won't be available. Will the rest? 5 or 5:30? All right, so clerk, will advertise the special meeting as soon as possible. We need 48 hours, and it'll be a one agenda item meeting. Okay. And assembly members, we have under borough manager's report, we have public works report, parks and rec, a really good report, harbor master's report, and we have a COVID report.
And our local situation for Rainbow right now for COVID, we do have 15 active cases for our little town, and 16 cases notified within the past 7 days. Five of those have been travel related, many of them close contact relations, and a couple community spread, though that has declined just a little bit. We've had some recent sports impacted, and our school district were impacted and had to make some changes to some of their events and some of the activities for our youth population and youth sports through Parks and Recs due to this recent little surge that we're having and with some positive cases and a large amount of close contacts with those cases. On the vaccine note for Rainbow specifically, we have administered altogether 2,500 fully vaccinated, 240 booster shots as of yesterday, and they do have a number of booster clinics planned. One large one this Saturday is a booster clinic with approximately 100 people already registered, and that is full at this time. As noted by a previous speaker, the vaccination for the pediatrics by ages 5 to 11 has been authorized and approved, and Rainbow does have that available. We'll be holding a vaccine clinic this coming Thursday. That one is full at this time. However, they do have some space still available for their vaccine clinic, again, for ages 5 to 11. Coming up on the 16th of November. You can contact search through their search.org website to register for that, or you can call the clinic 907-874-7000 for parents who are interested in getting their child vaccinated. Like I said, they are going to be having a large booster clinic this weekend, that's for adults, and they will likely continue a 2-day-per-week boosters ongoing depending on the demand for that. This coming November 11th, this Thursday, the state is also hosting a panel meeting for anyone who is interested, hosted by the Alaska Pediatrician Panel with pediatricians from across the state of Alaska from 6:30 to 8. And that, if you would like to ask questions, if you just want to listen in, but it's a number of pediatricians will be discussing the vaccinations for those kids ages 5 to 11. And that can be found at alaskachildtrust.org/events if you'd like to register for that. And we can get that up on our COVID website as well for parents. Vaccines are important, but they are not our only tool. The fire department continues to give out masks. You can stop by the fire hall, you can call the fire department, 907-874-3223, or email travel@rainbow.com if you have a need for masks, and that's not only for personal private, that's for businesses, anyone. We really want to get them in the hands of the community. These are continuing to be offered through our 213 resource requests through the state, which on an extremely positive note, FEMA had previously had notified the state that they were going to be shifting and doing a federal cost share shift, which was going to be 75% federal cost share, 25% to the state. And the president just did announce today that he's extended the 100% federal cost share through April 1st of 2022. We did apply for the state, some funding stuff here. We did apply through the state for another health equity grant previously that was providing approximately $14,000 working by to Rainbow for health equity. And what we put in our grant for our focus was more opportunities for community of Rainbow for exercise and activities. So we worked with Parks and Rec and got some numbers on the use of the community gym, extending hours, maybe just for walkers in the morning, or more opportunities for different activities that they previously or currently don't offer. Even the use of the community, the multi-purpose room, and the kitchen in the community gym to provide some possibly healthy eating classes or anything of that sort. We applied that to the state. We have not heard back as of yet if that is approved as we wrote it up, or if they want to make any changes to it. We felt that that was a good use of those funds and just giving our youth another opportunity. As far as our community goes, again, we have 15 active cases. We, as some of you on the assembly were part of, do not, voted, whatever, to not have a mitigation plan in place. And so if our numbers do continue to increase, there's not a set number where we say, okay, now we're going to do this. It'll all come back to the assembly, as you know. Other communities do have mitigation measures in place. So when you hear me talk about other communities and they say they're in the high and that they have mitigation measures that they've enacted, that's because they do have those mitigation measures in continually in place. So as Assemblymember Gilbert asked, can we speak to Petersburg situation? They are on a sharp increase over the last week and some. Petersburg currently has 59 in the past 7 days. They have 69 active cases and 94 pending results. A number of these have impacted youth who are enrolled in their school system. It doesn't mean that they contracted it or anything through school or through sports. It just they happen to be enrolled in the school or at that age. 31 of them altogether in the school district. And then they have approximately 29 then on top of that in quarantine. Their assembly did put it, they closed all their borough facilities as of 11/3 and reinstituted their mandatory mask in indoor spaces, indoor public spaces on Friday, November 5th, and that will continue until December 6th. So they're really overwhelmed over there. Again, they're back to asking everyone to do their own contact tracing and reach out to folks, test if they have any kind of symptoms at all. They continue with their asymptomatic testing as do we, and they also have set up for symptomatic testing over there. I don't have a current number of how many folks we were impacted from our school district. They have a dashboard, Petersburg has a dashboard set up a little different than ours, and I'm able to grab that information fairly easily. Mount LaCala is also on an increase, and they just reported that they have 26 active cases. They've gone into a high as of Monday evening, and that marks their highest level of the level 3. Juneau is also in a high at this point. Sitka, thankfully, is declining. They only reported 8 active cases. And Ketchikan has 72 active cases, with 59 of those reported in the last week. So Southeast is still holding strong. Unfortunately, we're still reporting some high numbers. The state has, we've plateaued, but we've still plateaued very high. There's still increasing hospitalizations, not as sharp of an increase as previously in late September, early October, but we're still increasing nonetheless. And our hospitalization for ICU beds, again, is in the red. So we've done pretty good here, and hopefully we'll continue to do so. We watch everybody else around us. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we can pull it out again or continue to do whatever it is that we're doing here locally and keep our numbers low. We know we've got holidays and a lot of gathering coming up. So that is my report, unless you have any questions.
Any questions?
Yes. Yes. Are there boosters available for teenagers? Or are they not recommended?
18 and older.
18 and older.
At this point in time, yes, 18 and older. And I did bring a flyer with me that I can give you here at the end. It talks about who's eligible for which booster, and that includes Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson at this time. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions from the assembly under manager's report? All right. Item 8, borough clerk's report.
So that'd be me. So we just have some upcoming meetings tomorrow, November 10th, Planning and Zoning Commission at 6 p.m. Here in the assembly chambers, we'll have their meeting. Some community events. So November 11th, city facilities will be closed for Veterans Day, as well as later on in the month, November 25th and 26th, city facilities will be closed for Thanksgiving holiday. For borough assembly meetings, there will be no assembly meeting on November 23rd, and December 14th, regular borough assembly meeting at 6 p.m. in the assembly chambers. There will be no other assembly meeting held in December unless a special meeting is called. And clerk traveling, Kim Lane, will be back from vacation on November 12th. So for the Alaska Municipal League upcoming 71st Annual AML Winter Conference, let's see here, November 15th through the 17th, and it will be held in person in Anchorage. Mayor and Assembly Members Morrison and Dalrymple will be attending in-person AML conference. The mayor will also attend the Alaska Conference of the Mayors, so the ACOM, and post-election training. Kim has confirmed Saturday, January 8th, for the OMA training session with the borough attorney. More to come as we get closer. If any of the Assembly has specific questions or needs clarification on parliamentary procedures or OMA, she will be happy to answer and provide that clarification from you when she returns.
Thank you. Any questions? All right. Item 10, item 9, Mayor and Assembly reports, business. Does anyone have anything to report? Okay, hearing none. Item 10A is the SEPA board appointments. There are two voting members and two alternate members to be appointed. And the mayor has asked me to appoint for voting members, Stephen Przunka and Steve Henson. And for the alternates, Mark Walker and Mason Villarma. So pending any disagreement from the assembly, we will set those in action. Everyone agree? All right. So, and clerk, you will inform them that they've been appointed. Okay, item 11, there's no public hearing tonight. Item 12, unfinished business. 12A is repeal of emergency ordinance number 1012. This was requested by Assembly Member DeBoard.
Move to repeal emergency ordinance number 1012.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Morrison and a second by DeBoard. Discussion. Assembly Member DeBoard.
So I'd like to talk about this for a few minutes, so please bear with me as I wrote out some of my concerns. Basically, I don't really mind the wording, but I think it should be a recommendation only, not a mandate, not an emergency ordinance. Like start off by saying I do think COVID-19 is very real. I've had friends that have been affected by it, people that have lost loved ones over this. However, thankfully, we do have a vaccine now, and especially for 5 and older, that can help meet the fight against this virus. Last I checked, there are 11 variants of COVID-19, and even more recent Delta variant called the Delta Plus, meaning we're now dealing with variants of variants. So far, we haven't had any variants of high consequence, thankfully, but we don't know what our future will hold. The concern with some of this is we can't pick and choose individuals or groups for exemption under these mandates or emergency orders, such as the school is requesting. Mandates have to be universally implemented, otherwise could be interpreted as unconstitutional or as discriminatory. Case in point was California's ban on religious indoor services was overturned due to giving preferential treatment and exemptions to entities such as actors and clubs while shutting down churches. This led to the courts declaring the ban on indoor church gatherings is unconstitutional. Same time, I think it's unacceptable that we are basically encouraging the school district as well as individual students and coaches to essentially disregard our mandate since it isn't, quote, enforceable and is on, quote, the honor system. It's not set a good example for our students who are trying to teach to grow up to be good law-abiding citizens. Current mandate does not give any exemption to those who have COVID-19 before but have recovered. I think the bigger issue is it's a perspective of liability, and so far we've looked at that from just one side. Really, recently there was a $200 million lawsuit filed against the Clark County School System in Nevada in regards to their mandates as being too restrictive within the school systems. So I think we have to look at the liability from both perspectives when it comes to this. I fear that we are dismissing the potential liability of long-term unintended consequences from not only this mandate, but others. At this point in time, I would just ask that we repeal the emergency ordinance, make it a recommendation coming from the city, leaving the same language, but not a mandate.
Okay, so same language and the idea of the wording of mandate implies something very restrictive to
yes,
you.
Yes, yeah. And as an emergency ordinance itself.
Okay, what other discussion? Anyone? Assemblymember Powell.
The reason why we did this is we were following CDC's guidelines and our EOC's guidelines that were passed to us. Is that the?
Yes.
Can you come up here, please, Stevie?
Okay, Captain Spray.
Yeah, currently we put in place the travel ordinance that was following the state's verbiage that they used, which is in line with the CDC guidance. There's a caveat that just happened because CDC just changed some of their international guidance just the other day. So.
Can you give me a little input on that? What they changed?
Give me a second.
Okay.
The vaccination for international travelers coming in and vaccinated individuals coming in are to monitor for symptoms following, and it's encouraged to test 3 to 5 days after. Unvaccinated must come in with a negative test, and they must retest.
So all of our state and federal guidelines are still in place right now with CDC and everything?
I'm sorry, what was that?
All our state and federal guidelines are with CDC are still exactly the same as when we voted this in?
To the tune of 72 hours, correct? You have to have a negative test within 72 hours. Okay, anything else, Assemblymember Powell? Any follow-up?
The only problem I have with this is, and Assemblymember DeBoer, you said that, and I'm not, this is through the board,
through the chair.
Is we don't know what holds in the future. And that's the only problem I have with this. It sunsets on December 31st. So I just, without knowing what kind of holds in the future, it's kind of hard to say, let's get rid of it now. When we all discussed this at one time, EOC is still saying this is a good idea, and I'm not an expert on this. I don't pertain to be, but at some point we have to listen to what the EOC says, the CDC is saying, and our state is saying. So to me, it's hard for me to say no to this as a mandate and make it a recommendation. I understand what the school wants to do, and I agree with what the school wants to do. I also agree with what you're saying. It's unenforceable. It's not, I mean, it really doesn't have no teeth. So to, it's hard. That's all I'm saying. It's just, this is a hard decision. I think we need to think about this before we say, let's get rid of it.
Okay, Assemblymember Morrison.
Didn't we have to put this in order to qualify for COVID money?
Not the emergency travel declaration, or the emergency travel ordinance, but the emergency, yes.
Yeah, okay. Yep. So this would not take away the emergency ordinance, it would just take away the travel part of it.
It's not taking away your emergency declaration.
It's not taking away our emergency declaration.
However we want to phrase it, really, at this point in time.
Well, that's, I think there's two things. We have an emergency ordinance that allows us to put this in, and the masking and things of that sort, so that we can, declaration, right, so that we can rake in funding. And Assembly Member Howe.
I think there's a lot of what I agree with. It isn't the regulatory burden falls heaviest on those that follow the regulations in this case. The school will follow them, and many people will follow them. But at the end of the day, if somebody walked through the airport and didn't want to get tested and wanted to red nose market, there'd be literally no consequences for that. However, the timing could not be worse but here's another thing I'll say. Interstate and intrastate, we kind of threw in intrastate as a follow-on when we passed the interstate. This is the only place where an interstate travel mandate would work, is where you live on an island and you can't freely move without, because if you were in Kentucky, you wouldn't say if you go from city to city, you have to wait 72 hours before you go somewhere. People move so freely that it's not an issue. So the interest, if there was a carve-out free intrastate, maybe it'd be a different discussion. But I also agree with Dave, the future is very cloudy. So I don't know, I'm torn on this one, but I'm hoping to have my mind changed. And there's a lot of persuasive things that were said.
Yes, there's Captain Spray.
To your question, right now we're discussing
the repeal.
The repeal, correct?
Yes.
And so is it a matter of making adjustments to it during this discussion? Or it's just simply either repeal or continue, and if you continue, you make the adjustments?
Our parliamentarians don't.
Well, no, this is only repeal. Okay. So we're going to either vote it up or down.
Okay.
And I'll speak to the matter. I'm very hesitant to repeal at this point in time, especially with the outbreaks. And one thing that I've noticed that it shouldn't surprise me is that the outbreaks can multiply very rapidly in a day. We have multiple reports coming out. And so I think this is the wrong time to repeal it. I do not like the idea of mandates. It's kind of that stubborn part of me that I don't like that word, but I understand that it's not enforceable, but I think we're erring on the side of caution. We're following CDC. It sunsets, as Assemblymember Powell says, December 31. That hopefully will take us through the travel period of the community. So I'm going to vote no on this. Assemblymember Powell.
She gets a good point here. Okay, if we appeal this, the next thing on our agenda is irrelevant. Okay,
correct.
So if we want to change it, we have to go to the next thing on our agenda, which is to if we want to change any part of this. Either, so I'm going to have to vote no to appeal it also, But I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to discuss the next thing on our agenda.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? Yes, Assemblymember Dalrymple.
I think I would also vote against repealing this. I think it's a bad time. And we are coming up on the termination date of this here shortly. And that, I think, is a time to maybe take a look again at this unknown future that we're dealing with. But the situation on our north and southern neighbors is quite frightening to me. I don't know how, really, that this is exactly defending us from their situations, but it's pretty minimal, and it's kind of a placeholder to show that we're concerned. So that's why I would vote to not repeal it at this time.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right, seeing none, poll vote, please. This is on repealing the emergency ordinance.
Assembly members, Ryan Howe?
No.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
No.
David Powell?
No.
Morrison?
No.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
No. Okay, motion fails. Item 12A, emergency ordinance number 1012, revision A, of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, reaffirming the declaration of emergency in emergency ordinances number 976, 980, 985, 994, 1003, and 1011, amending emergency ordinance number 1012 to include provisions for entities who follow their own mitigation plan, and adopting international, interstate, and intrastate travel testing measures.
Move to approve emergency order number 1012A.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Morrison. Discussion. Who wants to lead us off?
Can I start? Am I allowed to?
Let's have discussion first,
okay.
Kind of get into it. Assembly Member Howe, did you have your hand up?
Well, yeah. Some of the wording of the in our packet here, you know, stricter. I wouldn't say that the school is acting is presenting like a stricter travel like policy, but we do have strict others. There are other stricter mitigation measures in place within the school buildings. Universal masking, social distancing, frequent testing, hand washing, things like that. But as far as a stricter travel policy, I don't think the school has a stricter travel policy than any other organization. So that's, I'm just wondering, what is it, like, how do you interpret that?
I know, that's the question I had also. Assembly Member Morrison.
Well, I know that, at least in the high school, they test, before they go, they test twice a week, don't they? So, in that aspect, it is a stricter policy than what exists for us.
Yes.
Assembly Member DeBoer.
So I kind of agree with what is stricter. I mean, to me, it doesn't make sense that it would be stricter if the superintendent came to us a couple weeks ago asking us to reduce it. But now we're asking them to have a stricter plan in place than what we already have that they wanted us to reduce. It just doesn't make any sense. And then the second thing is we're getting into exempting that entity. What's an entity? Who's an entity? How many entities are we going to have? And how diluted is that going to be by the time it's all said and done?
Good point. Assembly Member Morrison.
And who's through the chair and who's going to supervise those entities?
Exactly, it's a Pandora's box.
Okay, Assembly Member Howe.
I think we're, you know, if we take stricter as an aggregate, then it's stricter. But if we're talking a narrow thing that's stricter, then it wouldn't be. Then it's not at all, it's more liberal. But if we're saying, like, in aggregate, it has a stricter mitigation policy in those buildings, then yeah, absolutely. But if it's just this narrow bit, then no, it wouldn't pass that test because we're asking for a looser interpretation. But are you, you know, me as a parent, I would not feel unsafe sending my children to school because they do wear masks everywhere, they do social distance, they do wash their hands frequently. But that's just me. Can I hear from Dee Dee?
Yeah, I'll call on her. And remember, this is an ordinance for travel into the community.
And so, it's only intrastate, correct?
Well, intra and interstate. Mm-hmm. Yes. And intrastate should, at least it concerns me just as much as interstate.
Well, I think, sorry.
Okay, Captain Spray, let's.
So I just wanted to give a little bit of the history. Our borough manager, Intram Good, was not here for that. And so during the assembly meeting, October 1st, we had brought back the interstate travel testing mandate for consideration for an extension. And at that time, the entire state of Alaska, as we still continue to lead the nation, was pretty high in numbers. And so the assembly made the determination that they would also bring back our intrastate travel testing. So from that, the school, it realized that they would be impacted if they were following that the way that it was laid out for testing. And so Superintendent Gilbert had come to the assembly asking for some kind of a waiver for that. During all of our discussions with Superintendent Burr, myself, the previous borough manager, Von Gargan, we talked about the school district is already doing so much, and Assemblymember Howell brings it up. The school district is already masking all over the place, they're social distancing, they're frequent hand washing, they have hand sanitizer stations all over. They also have that for all of their traveling teams. And so they are above and beyond what we is if we're just going, you know, to Ketchikan to go shopping for the weekend are doing. They're testing twice weekly, their AD is testing all of their athletes twice weekly. She brought tests with them on their most recent trips. They provided them, worked with the other athletic directors from other schools to ensure that our kids were testing. They stopped at airports along the way to make sure that they were meeting our guidelines of testing prior to coming back home. They're doing whatever they can to make sure that their kids are getting surveillance testing done. And then they're also masking everywhere they go, even if that's not a requirement in the school that they go to. So as far as stricter, the school's nailed it. I really feel like they are doing a really good job and like exceeding what we even have laid out for them. And so I don't feel like that is part of a question anymore. I feel like they're doing a really good job. So as far as the stricter piece, I think that I feel like that is covered in what they're already doing. When I sat down, Petersburg did just add up to their tally, and they've got 80 cases now. So, you know, it is around us for that intrastate. I think it is really important that we look at continuing that. I know the assembly voted back in 2020 to remove the teeth, remove the fine, because there was such an uproar within the community about adding fines to things. And so it was a strong, you know, this is our strongest mitigation piece that we have, and besides for masking in our current facilities, our city facilities, but it's the best guidance that we can put out there, and hopefully we can stop some of that at our doors before we get too far into the community.
Thank you. Any questions? Assemblymember Powell.
Well, Assemblymember Howell, this is what I, when you say, this ordinance, the mitigation plan, is stricter. That's what I thought we were looking at. It was, the school is a lot stricter than what we have asked for here. I mean, nobody else in the community is doing anything better than the school is doing, as far as I know. I don't know about the waiver. I don't know how you could do that without liability problems. But the way I read this, and yeah, someone's going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, is if the school has a mitigation plan and it is stricter than ours, which it seems it is, I mean, they do testing all the time, they don't have to follow our mitigation plan. That's the way I read this. Okay, so if we approve this the way it is, and the school has a mitigation plan, they can go with theirs because it's stricter than ours. Am I reading this correctly?
Sounds like it.
I just want to read through it. I don't see it has to be stricter. It just says to include provisions for entities who follow their own mitigation plan. But it does say and adopting international, interstate, and intrastate travel testing measures. So that means they would have to also adopt the follow one. So it's not that it's like they could do their own thing, but then they'd also have to follow all the travel rules because the and is in there. If it was a different word, like or, then they don't have to. But when you put and, that means they have to do both.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, assembly.
Well, then what the heck is the use?
I was just confused reading through it, what it, yes. This actually did. Mm-hmm. So,
Assembly Member Dalrymple.
Thanks, Vice Mayor. I think, Jim mentioned the Pandora's box, and to me, the entities is a word that, if you said Randall school system here, it would be real clear. I don't know what other entities there would be, but... entities to me is a little bit problematic. I don't know if that matters or not at this time because we are all assuming it's about the school.
Correct.
As a standalone, it doesn't mention the school.
Right. And a captain spray?
So one of those other entities is actually search itself. Oh.
Yeah.
They have all their employees have to be vaccinated or have fallen under some kind of a waiver. And they have their own mitigation that they're following. They're not following the
city. Mr. Mayor, to follow up on that, is there any process here to get approval of these entities? Or is it just self-identification?
Not at this point. Not the way it's written. I would not think that would be allowed. You know, Assembly Member Powell?
So I have a question that Captain Spray. Searches has their own mitigation plan. They don't follow ours at all. Is that correct?
That's my understanding.
Hmm. So I've got, then what's the point?
Hmm. Well, the point could be that we have no liability then. They're on their own. The school is part of our city.
Okay.
And, I feel very responsible for those kids, and the school is doing a great job. But as far as the travel into the community, I'm still going to vote no on this. I'm going to stay with the emergency travel plan. It sunsets December 31. School will be out for vacation, and then I would welcome revisiting this, mm-hmm. and perhaps do a carve out for the school because it is kind of squishy with, for me, the school is the city. The city is the school. And so I don't know how much this does release us of any liability.
I don't know if anything would.
No, I think you could get, sued for anything, but I just feel uncomfortable the way it's written. Any other discussion? Assembly Member Morrison.
Why don't we leave it the way it is? It sunsets the end of the year. Here again, we don't know what's coming down the pike with this COVID. Hopefully we will not be like Petersburg or Ketchikan with those high numbers, but at least this way there's something in place that we can refer to.
And we can revisit it then. Any other discussion? Everyone ready for the question? Okay, poll vote please.
Assembly Member Morrison?
No.
Ryan Howe?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
No.
David Howe?
No.
DeBoer?
No.
And Vice Mayor Gilbert?
No. All right, item 13A. Casey, this is where you come into play. 13A, this is discussion concerning the public safety building and former medical or Wrangell Medical Center building renovations, alternatives, and a third-party interest in the former Wrangell Medical Center building. So this is discussion only, no motion required. I'll turn it over first to Borough Manager Good.
Yeah, so we got the request from Casey Odell, who actually works for Regard Recovery. She gave us a letter basically stating interest in the property, and we felt this would be a good topic to discuss first, given some of the follow-on topics we have with the public safety building. So.
Okay. Casey?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Would you introduce yourself? You have the assembly here, and you have several department heads and the borough manager, and you have media present.
Okay. Well, hello, everyone. Thanks for giving me your ears this evening. Some of you may know me. My name is Kate Goodell. I have lived in Wrangell. I think I moved to the community back in 2013 to work for Alaska Island Community Services, which is now Search. I left the community a few years ago to pursue a career here in New Mexico, and this past spring, I was approached by Regard Recovery to start working with them on their interest in expanding their substance abuse treatment network. So Regard Recovery is a multi-state, multi-platform healthcare organization targeting substance abuse recovery. As of right now, our platform is largely focused in the eastern states. So we have locations including Florida, Kentucky, Tennessee, Virginia, Pennsylvania, are pursuing interests here in New Mexico, some in New York, and also we would really like to expand into Alaska. Wrangell is my home, so of course that would be a really great opportunity. As I was, exploring the business development model and looking around in Alaska and discussing it with my social network, my friends, my community members, Amber Olida made me aware that the old hospital in Wrangell was sitting unused. And really it would be an ideal location for what Regard Recovery is proposing starting in Alaska. We're looking at, building a detox residential PHP and IOP recovery hub. I'm hoping that this could be a really good opportunity for the community of Wrangell. This would bring, new economy, new commerce, new jobs. And it would be really exciting for me anyway if Wrangell would be interested in becoming known as leaders in the substance recovery efforts for Alaskans. I'm sure most of you in the room would attest to the fact that as an industry, we're falling short of addressing the needs for substance abuse treatment and recovery in Alaska. And this would be an interesting venture. So I'm really hoping that the community would be interested in partnering with Regard Recovery to make this a possibility. And hopefully we'd be able to utilize a facility that right now hasn't been in use for some time, as I understand it. So that's kind of everything in a nutshell.
Thank you. Assembly members, do you have any questions? Mm-hmm. Assembly Member Morrison.
Casey, through the chair, is Regard Recovery a privately owned business?
It is. It would be considered an LLC.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? And Casey, are you anticipating coming to Wrangell to scope out the situation?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm hoping to put together a trip up. I mean, I live in Wrangell. I was there just this past summer. I'm pretty familiar with the hospital, with my work with ASDS years ago, that took me into the facility. So I have familiarity with it. My partners, though, I would like to bring them out to get the lay of the land. So I'm trying to get that organized before Thanksgiving, before we move into the holiday season. But, my partners have kiddos and that sort of thing, so it takes a little bit to get them organized. But yes, is the short answer. We're trying to put together a visit.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments or questions? Assemblymember Powell.
So there's no proposal before us right now?
No, there's no proposal. Casey, as I understand, you wanted just to introduce yourself and sort of let us have a heads up on what you might be thinking. Correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, of course. That's correct. So, my hope is that if we do get the opportunity to move forward, obviously we want the community of Wrangell to be excited about this. And really, this is just the first step in moving us closer to the ultimate goal.
Thank you. And Carol Rushmore, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, just briefly. They have contacted the borough and they have been requesting information. So staff has been working with them to try to get them as much information as possible to help them with their due diligence. So from our conversations with them, they are doing due diligence on the property to make it work, and we're just trying to see the processes of what would happen so that when they do submit a formal proposal, we know the route and what it would look like for the borough.
Thank you. And
of course,
this sort of ties into our public safety building situation, and so we'll have the borough manager and Amber and Carol and everyone involved in that decision. So. Any other questions for Casey? Well, thank you for staying on the line as long as you did, and thank you for the information, and we look forward to your visit.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thank you. Okay, item 13B, approval of a sole source purchase from Primozone.
Oh, we still have a bit more discussion.
Okay, Amber, did you want to discuss? Okay, let's back up to public safety building.